I want to read a brief portion, starting at verse 21, and then another portion from the Gospel of Luke, and tell you the additional thought that Matthew gives us, and continue along the line of our Lord and evil spirits and demons. And we'll see in verse 21 his encounter with one of these evil spirits. Mark chapter 1, verse 21. And they go into Capernaum, and straightway on the Sabbath day, he entered into the synagogue and taught. And they were astonished at his teaching, for he taught them as having authority, and not as the scribes. And straightway there was in the synagogue a man with an unclean spirit, and he cried out, saying, What have we to do with thee, Jesus, thou Nazarene? Art thou come to destroy us? I know thee who thou art, the Holy One of God. And Jesus rebuked him, saying, Hold thy peace, and come out of him. And the unclean spirit, tearing him and crying with a loud voice, came out of him. And they were all amazed, insomuch that they questioned among themselves, saying, What is this, a new teaching? With authority he commandeth even the unclean spirits, and they obey him. And the report of him went out straightway everywhere into all the region of Galilee round about. Now turn over to Luke chapter 8. And in Luke's Gospel, chapter 8, our Savior has just come into the country over against Galilee. And in verse 27, it says, And when he was come forth upon the land, there met him a certain man out of the city who had demons. And for a long time he had worn no clothes, and abode not in any house, but in the tombs. And when he saw Jesus, he cried out, and fell down before him, and with a loud voice said, What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I beseech thee, torment me not. For he was commanding the unclean spirit to come out from him. And Matthew says, Art thou come hither to torment us before the time? For oft times it had seized him, and he was kept under guard and bound with chains and fetters, and breaking the bands asunder, he was driven of the demon into the desert. And Jesus asked him, What is thy name? And he said, Legion. For many demons were entered into him. And they entreated him that he would not command them to depart into the abyss. Now there were there a herd of many swine feeding on the mountain, and they entreated him that he would give them leave to enter into them. And he gave them leave, and the demons came out from the man and entered into the swine, and the herd rushed down the steep into the lake and were drowned. And then they run to the city and tell about it. And look down at verse 37. The men come back after they've reported this accident, and it says in verse 37, And all the people of the country of the Gerasenes round about asked him to depart from them, for they were holden with great fear. And he entered into a boat and returned. But the man from whom the demons were gone out prayed him that he might be with him. But he sent him away, saying, Return to thy house and declare how great things God hath done for thee. And he went his way publishing throughout the whole city how great things Jesus had done for him. Let us speak to God again in prayer. Our Father, we were not there when these things happened in the life of thy Son, but those that were there marveled. But though we were not there, our hearts have marveled, reading about the things that took place when thy Son as on earth. We pray that the reality of these things shall be brought home to our hearts by thy Spirit. By thy Spirit, we pray for empowering and cleansing and preparation, the good seed of the Word of God may fall on good ground and bring forth fruit abundantly. Help us this day, we ask of thee, in the name of Jesus Christ, the Lord. Amen. Would you be afraid of me if I told you that my theology, and let me say a word about theology, it's simply the doctrines about God and the Bible and truth. Would you be alarmed if I told you that my theology was identical with the theology of demons? I'm going to preach to you this morning demon theology, and it's exactly what I believe. And at the same time, when I preach it to you, if you believe it, I promise you a place in heaven. And if you don't believe what the demons believe, you will go to hell. You say, that's the most contradictory thing I've ever heard in my life. No, I challenge any one of you to tell me anything that a demon ever said about the Lord Jesus Christ, about God the Father, about heaven and hell that was wrong. Understand the question. Anything that they ever said about the Lord Jesus, about heaven or hell, that was wrong. I read to you from two passages this morning about demon theology. This is what they said. When the Lord Jesus Christ came face to face with these demons, they said, "What have we to do with thee, Jesus of Nazareth? I know thee who thou art, the Son of God. Art thou come hither to torment us before the time?" Now tell me, did you know that demons believed that Jesus was the Son of God? If you don't believe it, you're going to hell. But demons believe it. Do you realize that demons believe that there is a place of future torment? Do you believe it? If you don't, you're going to that place of torment. And I've gone through the scriptures systematically, and please understand what I'm telling you. I tell you what demons believe, I believe, not what demons teach through false prophets. That is an entirely different matter. Notice what it says in 1 Timothy chapter 4 and in 1 John chapter 4. It says, in the last days, it says, evil times shall come upon us. And it says that there shall be doctrines of demons. Now, the doctrine of a demon is what a demon teaches. Listen to what it says in 1 John 4, 1. "Oh, my little children, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, because many false prophets have gone out into the world." Please notice that these spirits are those that enter into the false prophets, and the prophets do the teaching. But the giveaway is this, that what the demons inspire false prophets to teach is not what they believe at all. What they actually believe is what comes forth from their lips when they are confronted with the Lord Jesus Christ. And I challenge you, you won't have time now, and I hope you won't be trying to find it all the time that I'm speaking this message to you, but I want you to go home and find anything that demons ever said to the Lord Jesus Christ. Will you do that? And come back and tell me anything that they ever told you that was wrong. Now, this is so remarkable for the simple reason that if you want a proper and a correct theology, do not go to advanced thinkers. Do not go to those that are preaching in cathedrals and magnificent edifices. And at the same time, in universities, do not go to places like that and say, "Would you please tell me correctly about this historic being named Jesus?" All you have to do is to read what the demons said about him, and your theology will be in error. Now, I'm going to bring this to your attention for the simple reason that there are so many who are in the world that deny the very things that I read to you this morning, and the ones that deny what I read to you this morning are inspired by the very demons that confess what I read to you this morning. This is the doctrine of demons, what they have false prophets to teach, but what demons actually believe is something entirely different. It is like the time that Satan confronted our mother Eve, and when God had told her one thing, Satan spoke to her and he said, "Hath God said, thou shalt not die?" And then she went on and spoke to him longer and he said, "Thou shalt not die." And so it's one thing when a demon comes and speaks to an ordinary person, but when a demon comes and speaks to the Lord Jesus Christ, or one of his true servants like Paul, the Apostle Paul, it is something entirely different. Now let me give you that reference. Do you realize that in Acts chapter 16, there is this girl who is demon-possessed, and listen to what she says concerning Paul and Silas. These be holy men of God who have come to teach us the way of salvation. Can you find any fault with that? Paul, the holy apostle, who came to teach them the way of salvation. Anything wrong there? And so this is what you will find, that in spite of themselves, the truth comes from the mouths of demons. But I want to warn you that if you learned what demon theology was that they actually believed, and you learned it factually, you could still die and go to hell. Because this is what it says in the Epistle of James. Do you believe that God is one? The devils believe and tremble. Do you realize that they believe in the unity of God? Have I told you anything wrong yet that demons haven't believed? Tell me one thing that I quoted. Any brother, tell me one thing that a demon has said that has been incorrect about the Son of God, about God. Do you believe in the unity of God, that God is one, that there is one God? So do they. They should know. He's the one that created them. They are the ones who from time immemorial have been in heaven worshiping him until they fell and were cast out of heaven. They know about the one God. And at the same time, this is what is so remarkable, and I rejoice in the truth of it, because here are they who knew what it was in time past to be in the presence of God. It says, concerning Lucifer, it says, you were the anointed cherub that covered. And Lucifer knew who this God was, who the Son of God was. Do you remember the cherubs are in the presence of God in Isaiah chapter 6? And he said, I saw the Lord high and lifted up. And John tells us in chapter 12, this spake he of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so they saw the Lord Jesus Christ. They knew him before he came to earth. And when he came to earth, these demons had more perception than the Jews whom the Lord Jesus Christ came to save for this reason. It says in John 1, he came unto his own, and his own received him not. And in John chapter 1, John the Baptist says, there standeth one in the midst of you whom you know not. But did you hear what the demons said when they spoke to the Lord Jesus? They said, we know thee who thou art. And so they weren't in ignorance. And so you will find that they had perception, awareness. They recognized God manifest in the flesh. They confessed it with their lips. And yet not one of these demons is going to be in heaven. Because the Bible says the demons believe and tremble. They believe in God. And so this is what I warn you about this morning. You who factually, you who repeat the Apostles' Creed and think that because you repeat it and you factually know the ABCs of the gospel, that that's all that's necessary. By no means. You will find that the very ones who murdered the Lord Jesus Christ saw his miracles. When Lazarus was raised from the dead, those who saw him raise Lazarus from the dead, some of them went away and arranged with the authorities to put Jesus to death. And so you can believe in the miracles of Jesus and go to hell. But it says in 1:12, but as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God. He will give you the authority if from your heart you will embrace him and receive him. You learn the truth about him, and then you say, Lord Jesus, I want you as my Savior. And so I warn all of you this morning, who, not you who are ignorant and do not know the way of salvation, but you who do know the way of salvation, you can quote theology correctly as the demons do. I say, unless you receive the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, you will perish and go to hell. For the same reason that that lawyer in Mark chapter 12 knew the truth about spirit and flesh and about the nature of the commands of God. And when he said to the Lord Jesus Christ, what is the first and great commandment? And the Savior told him, you shall worship the Lord thy God, love him and with all your heart and soul and mind and strength, and love thy neighbor as thyself. And it said that the man said to him, Lord, you have well said that he is one, that there is none other but he, and to love him with all your being is more than all whole burnt offerings and sacrifices. Does this man know the truth? You say, he must be a child of God. The Lord Jesus, when he saw that he had answered discreetly, said, "You are not far from the kingdom of God." You see the danger of a man not knowing anything about Jesus, but then a man knowing about Jesus, about God. But when you know about him, you are not far from the kingdom of God. But if you are not far from the kingdom of God, you are not in the kingdom of God. That is the difference. I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of God. If you're a doorkeeper in the house of God, at least you're on the inside at the door. But if you know everything, but you are not far from the kingdom of God, you haven't gone on the inside yet. And so this is a warning to all of you this morning who have been taught the way of salvation from a child, and yet from your heart you have not received the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. You understand it factually and intellectually, but you have not opened your heart and received the Lord Jesus. As many as received him, to them gave he the right to become the sons of God. And this is what you need this morning. At what time in your experience have you said to the Lord Jesus, "I want you as my Savior"? For a man to look upon a woman and see, "She's beautiful. She's the kind of woman that I want to be my wife." You learn these things. You understand them. But then you go and say, "I want you to be my wife." And then she either says yes or no. And when the Lord Jesus draws you with cords of love to himself, and you say, "Lord Jesus, I want you as my Savior," then the matter is settled. And that's what perhaps some of you have failed to do, to say yes to the Lord Jesus. "I know these things. I've learned them from a child. And now, Lord Jesus, I want you to be my Savior." And so I'm going to preach to you a little while demon theology, what they believe, not what they teach through false prophets. And so don't let anyone tell you that John Mills told me this about demons. I told you what they confess with their lips. I've told you also that they tell lies when it comes to what they teach, but at times they cannot help but tell the truth because they're terrified. They're afraid of the Son of God. All right, first of all, let's learn this. Do you realize that some of the learned professors in your universities here in Virginia and ours down in North Carolina would doubt the historicity of the person of the Lord Jesus? They laugh and they say, "There never was any person, Jesus of Nazareth." I remember reading an article in the Washington Post about this learned man who had this vast library, and he said there was no such person as Jesus of Nazareth because Josephus didn't know about him. He didn't discuss it. And if Josephus didn't know about Jesus of Nazareth, then there was no Jesus of Nazareth. Here is a learned man. They listen to what a Josephus says or does not say, and if Josephus doesn't say it, well, that is the final authority. Listen to what demons say. "I know thee who thou art, Jesus of Nazareth." They understood that there was a person born named Jesus, and they understood that he lived at a town named Nazareth. Do you see how simple it is that those who are learned today will deny the very things that when our Savior was on earth, they had to confess with their lips? Ask them, "What is this person, this non-existent person's name?" "Why, his name is Jesus." "Where did he live?" "He lived in Nazareth." They knew exactly where he was from, and at the same time, they would know, since where he was from, they would know he was a carpenter. They would know all about this one who was, he eventually was to dispose of their faith. This is what is so remarkable. And yet learned ones will come today and doubt that a historical person named Jesus ever lived. But the demons confess that there was a man named Jesus and he lived in Nazareth. But there are those who say, because of the evidence, I believe that I have to accept the evidence that, yes, there was a Jesus, but he was simply a Jew. And I remember reading on an occasion about this Jew, how disillusioned he was. He hoped to revive the people, but then he met an untimely death, and that was the end of Jesus. And so that's the way they speak of him. They will deny that he ever existed, and then if they do confess that he existed, well, he was simply an ordinary man. Jesus of Nazareth, yes, of humble origin. He labored as a common carpenter. Yes, that's Jesus. There was a Jesus of Nazareth. But notice the next thing. After the demons confess him as living in Nazareth, they say, "We know thee who thou art, thou Son of God." And so they confess two things. The Son of God. They confess that there is a God, and the world is filled with those who say, "There is no God. I wonder if there is a God." But these demons confess that there is a God, and they confess also what Jehovah's Witnesses will not confess, that this Son of God has been given all power in heaven and on earth. They fall down and worship him. You may read in the Gospels, and when the Son of God comes before them, they fall down and worship him. Can you ever imagine anyone falling down and worshiping one who did not have this glory and this splendor of deity? And they confess that there is a God, and they confess that God has a Son, just as it says in the book of Proverbs. It says, speaking of a man that is supposed to have understanding, he said, I am so brutish, he said, I lack understanding. And one of the questions is this about God. What is his name and what is his son's name? That's the challenge put out in the book of Proverbs. And the demons come along and they tell you about God and they tell you the name of God's son. And so this theology is perfect. They know that there is a Son of God. They know from existing in heaven with Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, just as those cherubim there say, Holy, Holy, Holy is the Lord God Almighty. Those seraphim are crying that out in Isaiah chapter 6. Holy, 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 the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. And so these demons come along and they confess Jesus of Nazareth. That's Christ in the flesh. Notice, he is in the flesh, but they confess him as the Son of God. And so he is God's Son manifest in the flesh, and they worship him. Do you see that the theology of demons is perfect? Because they're not thinking up a theology and trying to straighten things out. They simply knew him as the Son of God before he came into existence as a man. And now that God has been manifest in the flesh, they confess him as Jesus. This is the humanity. Jesus of Nazareth, thou Son of God. And they're confessing that he is God as well as man. And this is the confession of demons. And that's why I say that it's perfect. Because they know by experience who this one is that left heaven, that was rich, and yet for your sakes he became poor, that we through his poverty might be made rich. All right. I told you a few things, and just I'm giving you the hints because I want you to trace it out and see how startling this thing is when you learn the truth that comes from their lips when they speak to the Son of God, and then the lies, the damnable lies that they will tell you through other men if you will listen to their false prophets. Because they say one thing, but they will inspire another one to say, teach that Jesus never was born. And so how can you believe in someone that wasn't in existence? Jesus, some mythological character that men have made up, pious or religious men. They've made it up and written stories about him. He had no existence. This is what the demons tell their dupes to teach. And at the same time, they confess that Jesus is the Son of God, but they teach their dupes and their ministers that form themselves, change themselves into ministers of light. They say, teach that he isn't the Son of God. Just teach that he's God like all of us. He's the Son of God like everybody is a Son of God. And that's what they do. What they know to be true is not what they teach and tell others to teach. And so what has happened is this. You have listened to the preachers inspired by evil spirits and false teachers, but you have not listened to what they believe themselves. And in a coming day, you are going to stand before the great white throne, and you will understand that what they confessed with their lips was true, but what they inspired false prophets to teach was a lie, and you believed a lie rather than the truth as it came forth from their lips. And they have deceived you, because the Bible speaks about lying spirits that have gone forth into all the earth to deceive the kings. And that is what has happened. Lying spirits have come and have deceived you into doubting if Jesus was an actual person, if Jesus actually was God manifest in the flesh. And now, this doctrine, this is what is so remarkable. If there is anything to what is spoken of as the new birth, do you understand that they believe Romans chapter 1, verses 15 and 16? They believe it stronger than you do. Why? What does it say there? Let me bring this part of it to your attention. Paul said, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth it. And then you go and you may read in Mark 4, and in Luke 8, and in Matthew chapter 13, and you will find that the Lord Jesus Christ in parable goes forth and he sows the word. He sows the seed, and the Lord said, the seed is the word of God. And as soon as the seed, the word of God, the gospel is sown, it says the birds of the heaven come and gobble up the seed. And the Lord Jesus, interpreting that, says this, they take away the seed, lest they should believe in their heart and should be saved. They believe Romans 1 verse 16. They know the power of the grace of God. They know the power of the word of God. Why? Because if there were no power in it, why would these demons come and snatch away the word of God? Suppose someone told you that they had a medicine that would cure you, and I was your enemy, and I didn't want you to get that medicine, but I knew that the medicine was not effectual. It was simply worthless. I wouldn't mind anybody giving you that medicine at all. I would say, go ahead and give him the medicine. It doesn't matter. But at the same time, if I were your enemy, and I knew that, let's say that you had a poison, and penicillin had just been discovered, I wouldn't want you to get a shot of penicillin. Why? Because it would cure you. And I would do everything in my power to keep that penicillin, that medicine, from getting into your body and healing you of the disease. And so in like manner, these demons that want you to perish and go to hell, they know the power of the gospel, and therefore they come and snatch it away. And so they will tell you that there is nothing to it. They will laugh about it. They will ridicule it and say that it's archaic. Why, it is something that's worthless. It's something that ignoramuses teach. But why is it then, if that is so, why would they come and snatch away the gospel that is sown in men's hearts if it won't bring forth life? That it won't bring forth the regeneration, the new birth that the Lord Jesus says must occur in your hearts. Why? Because they believe the gospel is the power of God. If they knew it were nothing but the thoughts of men and something that Paul made up and the others made up, they would say, preach it all you want to, because it is absolutely worthless. But they believe in the gospel of the grace of God, that the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. And that's why they don't want you to read your Bible. That's why they don't want you to meditate on it day and night. That is why they do not want you to come and be taught the word of God. Because the word of God will save you. It will ground you. It will build you up. It will keep you from being blown about by every wind of doctrine. And because they know the power and efficacy of the word, they, the Lord Jesus, exposes them like birds that come from heaven and take the seed that you've sown, that you want to bring forth fruit. They do that because they know the truth of the gospel. Now, go to any church, any large church here in Richmond that has a minister that is a liberal and a modernist, and ask him, tell me, do you believe in the future that for men who do not receive the Lord Jesus as Savior, that there is torment, that there is hell, that there is eternal separation from God? And they will laugh in your face. They will say, this is a teaching of the Middle Ages. Why, all of this torment, the horror that is to come to men after they die, don't you understand that there is a God of love? That this God of love has many children, and all of us eventually, we will wind up in the bosom of God. Forget all of these heathenish, these frightening stories about hell and torment. Why, they're just stories that men have made up. They're myths that men have made up and taught up just to scare people. Let your heart rest at ease. Everybody's going to be in heaven. God is love. Isn't that true? All right. You believe that, and you will perish, and you will go to hell. But if hell and torment is no reality, why is it that these demons are so afraid of it? And if hell is just a nice place where you can go with all your friends, why is it that the demons say, Lord, it said, are you come to torment us before the time? And at the same time, do they say, don't command us to depart into the abyss? Do you see what they're saying? Now I'm going to set it down for you. 1, 2, 3. They plead with the Lord Jesus Christ not to send them away into the abyss. Do you realize that in the coming day, you're going to be in the abyss with the devil and his angels? That's what it says in Matthew 25. The Lord is going to say exactly what he did not say to them in the portion I read to you. He gave them leave to go into the swine. But in a coming day, like as unto Matthew 25, the Lord sitting upon his throne is going to say, depart ye cursed into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. And it says that those that did not become his sheep, it said they are going away into everlasting punishment. And so that's exactly the theology that these demons believe. Isn't that remarkable? They know that there is a pit. They know that there is a lake of fire. The Lord Jesus prepared it for them in Matthew 25. Depart ye cursed into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. And so these angels of the devil, they know that there is a pit. And at the same time, they know that when they get there, there's not going to be a happy reunion with all of those demons that they had known in heaven. All of you drunkards and all of you whoremongers and adulterers and all of you sinners who are never regenerated. You say, well, everything's going to be fine when I get with all my buddies and we can drink. It says in Luke 16 that this man that fared sumptuously every day, he didn't get a drop of water from the tip of this diseased Lazarus who sat at his gate. Whatever his condition might have been when he was changed. He was willing to let that diseased Lazarus put his finger in water.